Hi, and welcome to the South Central PA Mom Fireflies and Whoopie Pie podcast, where we discuss motherhood, local events, and everything in between right here in South Central PA. So sit back, grab a coffee a while, and settle in for the show. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Today, we are going to be talking about foster care, and we have Allison and Sarah. They are the president and treasurer of the Lebanon County Foster Parent Alliance. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hi. Happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
So just to start with, can you give us a quick rundown of what the Lebanon County Foster Parent Alliance is and what it does?
Allie, you want to go ahead?
I think you can talk more about it better.
All right. So the Lebanon County Foster Parent Alliance, we are a group of foster parent volunteers that are licensed to foster in our homes through Lebanon County Children and Youth. And what we do as part of the alliance is offer support to families that have foster kids in their home or that might be prospective foster parents by letting them know kind of what the whole deal is with getting approved to foster and having kids in their home. And then on top of that, we also do some community outreach where we're looking to bring other foster families in. And also we spend time planning events for foster kids in Lebanon County to participate in. So whether that's a Christmas party or a party for like Paramount Sports Complex where they can go and jump around and stuff. And it offers a space for children that are in the foster care community to be with people that are like them, that have similar experiences being in foster care. And it also offers support for foster parents to be able to talk to other foster parents and kind of share what it's like, the pros and cons, and, you know, maybe some troubles here and there with raising kids that aren't our own.
And are you two both foster parents yourselves?
I am. Yes. I have a placement right now of a 3-year-old little boy.
Okay.
I am also a foster parent. I've been one for almost 4 years. So I have, a 4-year-old little boy. And then I have a 5-month-old little girl.
that's the one you're holding right now, right?
Yep.
Yep. So what are some of the struggles locally that you two are seeing when it comes to fostering here in the three of us are in Lebanon, but just, you know, in general for the wider community, you know, in this area?
I would say the biggest issue that foster families face in general would be lack of support in the way that we don't have a lot of families in Lebanon County. The biggest issue, I think, all around is that we wish that our community was bigger so that we had more people to share the burden with and volunteer with and for children to be able to be served in their own community. There are many children that are children of Lebanon County that end up needing to be fostered outside of Lebanon County by other families in other counties, which I'm sure there are fantastic foster families outside of Lebanon County. But what happens when a child needs to be fostered outside of their own county, or, you know, not even just your surrounding counties, I'm talking like even as far as sometimes like, you know, Pittsburgh and places like that, is that they're losing their community that they grew up in and maybe losing some of the ability to, you know, visit family and friends that they know that would be at their fingertips if they were local but aren't now because they had to be sourced somewhere else.
Yeah. And I mean, it's already hard enough. I have not been a foster child myself. I am also a foster parent, but So I'm just kind of guessing. I would imagine it is hard enough. You're removed from your family, you know, and then now not only that, but you have to be removed from your community as well. You know, it's like, it's got to be like twice as hard. Now you've got to go to a new school. You have to make new friends. You have to find new supports. If you're into some kind of hobby or sport or something, well, now I've got to start all over again.
Yeah. I have to think that is incredibly difficult. You know, and the truth is, like, we, you know, if we have been lucky enough not to have grown up in the system ourselves, I think it's really probably very hard to imagine what that's like. We can only try. and you know, being part of the Alliance has given us an opportunity to try to help, and create, you know, great childhood experiences with these events and things that we plan, and having support for the foster families so that, you know, foster families can be as successful as possible. But really, there's strength in numbers. And, you know, one of the things we talk about in foster care is building a village. And it's really hard to build a village when you don't have enough people.
Yeah. And one thing that I think it was just earlier today that I saw, Allison, that you posted, and it reminded me to reach out, was even just the ability to, while they're waiting for families, that they don't have anywhere to go. And you were saying that they are having to like sleep on couches in the courthouse, which, I mean, is just like so heartbreaking.
Yeah. So a new project that we're doing right now is that we are in the process, the Alliance is in the process of securing a space, a building, which we have, we just need to do the paperwork on. Here in the past week, we've done a lot of running around looking at properties and things like that. We're going to be renting a space so that we have an actual location, that we are going to furnish. It's going to be, like a small home. Where we have, you know, a playroom and bunk beds set up, and I don't know, a kitchen and, you know, a comfy couch and things like that, that a child in need would be able to come to our center, and, you know, get a meal, get some clothes, hang out with a caseworker or one of the volunteer foster parents there while their foster placement was ready to receive them. So that's something new that we're doing now that we're really excited about. And we hope that, you know, by, I would say, early June, we'll be able to have that up and running and open to use by Lebanon County for, you know, CYS, for them to come in and have a place to be. That's not the courthouse, which, you know, the courthouse does as best as it can, but, you know, we're looking to provide a homier, you know, more fun atmosphere to be able to spend that night or day while they're waiting, because that has to be hard too.
Oh, it's just the thought of it, like, again, you're taken from your parents and now you're sleeping in a courthouse. It's just, I mean, and that's one thing that, you know, you see, well, I don't know how many people that aren't in the foster community see this, but, you know, I see it a lot where, you know, just things in like foster closets where it's like giving these children a suitcase, you know, because a lot of these foster kids will go from home to home and it's like their belongings are in plastic, like trash bags. It's just the thought of it. It's almost like dehumanizing, you know, and it's so sad because it goes so unrecognized. I think people that aren't in the foster community, I don't think recognize these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, one of our goals is to be able to collect enough donations or monies to buy things, to create, like, essentially what we're going to call like a go bag, for different age groups, so that like in that bag, they can have like, you know, a backpack or a duffel bag or something like that, that has, you know, fresh change of clothes, pajamas, hygiene items, you know, maybe a soft blanket or something like that. Some of these things to call their own, because, I mean, let's not forget that there, you know, there are situations that you might imagine in your head where children are getting pulled out of their homes, but they don't have time to pack. Mm-hmm. And even if they don't have time to pack, maybe they don't have things to pack. Or the things that they do pack, unfortunately, could be, you know, need laundered, or, you know,
or just not really appropriate, not appropriate size, or things like that. Like, it is kind of sad the way that some kids come into care, and not all kids come into care that way. But there definitely is space for the need, like you're saying, for like something that is their own that they can have to keep with them where they go from there. You know, so if we can make the Alliance Center, like kind of like their first stop, and provide them with some things that can, you know, give them comfort, that they can take on to their next stop, wherever that may be, you know, perhaps get the clothes that they were wearing washed and returned to them and that sort of thing. That's really the main goal there is to have a place that feels homey, to fix some of those situations that we can fix immediately.
And I think I've seen in posts on Facebook from you guys where you've talked about what, I guess it's kind of like an average, like what the need are, like how many children are typically waiting for placement here versus how many families are available.
So at our last meeting, there's about 120 kids placed that our Lebanon County has custody over. And Lebanon County foster parents, we have about 12 families.
Oh.
So there's a big gap in how many places are around, like Sarah was talking about earlier, in their own community. So they're being sourced everywhere else. So yeah, I think between the foster families, I believe there's about 20-ish kids out of that 120. So
yeah, we have quite a few families.
What do you think is holding people back from becoming foster parents? Like, have you heard specific things or
I think a big part is like even posting on Facebook today, like people reached out to me and they were like, oh, like what do you do for daycare, and like what do you how do like visits work, and like how does working with the county work, and all the expenses that go into practically raising a kid that's not yours. So that's another goal of the Alliance, is to kind of close that gap. Like children, baby equipment is very expensive. And like if a couple is expecting a baby, they have a baby shower where they get all those expensive items that family members provide. But like if you get a phone call for a 5-year-old and you don't have a booster seat, like you have to, like where do you get that? And like all of those immediate needs can't be met right away. And I think that's a big reason why people kind of back out, because if you get a baby, you need a crib, stroller, car seat, and that could be thousands of dollars, which is kind of where we want to be able to provide the bigger items that people do need. But I think that those are kind of the biggest reasons. I don't know what Sarah thinks.
Yeah, I think going off of what Ali said there, I think it's really about education, as far as all of the unknowns, because taking on caring for a child that is not yours is a big endeavor. And there are rules about what you're allowed to do and not allowed to do. And, you know, that can be kind of scary to navigate and be unsure of. And on top of it, you know, there's this idea that foster care, you know, it requires a ton of training or a ton of, you know, caseworkers in and out of your home all the time and that sort of thing. And that's not exactly how it is. I think that just basic education on what the process looks like and having the opportunity to picture your family inside the process would be awesome for many people, anybody that's ever wondered about it. But we, as the part of the Alliance, like Ali said, what we want to do is answer those questions for people so that we can potentially have more families able to help. Because I know that there are lots of people out there that want to help, but they don't always know how to help. And that's what we're trying to be active and asking and letting people know how they can help everybody.
Well, and I know that in my experience, a lot of times when I will talk to people about fostering, you know, it's almost like they find it scary. You know, there's like this negative perception of kids in foster care of being, you know, like, oh, they're these bad, troubled kids and they're going to cause all of these problems for, you know, maybe you've got biological kids. Well, they're going to cause all these problems for my bio kids and they're going to destroy my house. And, you know, or on the flip side, it's I'm going to fall in love with this kid just to have to turn around and give them back to their parents. And so it's like, I feel like a lot of people, they find it scary in a lot of different ways.
I think that those are valid things to be scared about. I'm going to be completely honest. Maybe not so much the troubled children, because there is help that we can get children, you know, in general, as far as mental health help and, you know, family therapy and that sort of thing, which can really go a long way for a kiddo that needs that extra support. You know, but in the interim, yeah, there's absolutely going to be tantrums and meltdowns and things like that. But again, we have to remember that we're taking these children away from anything that they've ever known. And there might be a space where you're the bad guy for a minute, you know, until they get to know you, but that's not how it is for everybody. And as far as bio kids, you know, I think that is absolutely a legitimate thing that you have to consider. And so there are things that as a foster parent, you can decide for your family, being that, you know, maybe, you know, you don't have to say yes to every call that that comes in. You absolutely have the ability to pick and choose if you are able to help that day or that month or week or year or, you know, however long it is. Sometimes caseworkers might even know, hey, this is a couple of days. We've also seen situations where they think it's a couple of days and it's longer than that. But there's always a way that you can, you know, kind of try to understand as much as the caseworker knows previously, and see if that is going to be a good fit. And you can also pick the ages that you're comfortable with fostering. You can pick, you know, the gender of the child. If you think that, you know, your bio kids won't necessarily accept a child that's older than 4, for instance, you could say, I'm only open to this age group. Or if you think that you are open to older kids because you already have older kids and you're already used to doing that, then that's great too. You know, you can pick and choose. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's not like we're being rude to these children, but they do need to fit to in your family. And there's also space that if you say yes and something doesn't work out for some reason and you've tried and you've gone through the motions of getting the help and trying to make it work and it just doesn't work, then you can let your caseworker know, hey, this isn't the placement for us. You know, maybe another family could help in a different way, in a better way than we're able to do right now. And so there, you know, just because you say yes doesn't mean that you have to say yes forever. And you know, there is room to change things and decide for you what's best for your family.
Yeah, and I think that it has been helpful in our situation to really try to remember, because as you mentioned, a lot of these concerns when people are, you know, oh, it's scary, foster kids are troubled and they're bad and so on and so forth. And it's like, okay, well, one, no kid is bad. You know, it's obviously, you know, you're dealing with a child, regardless of their ages, like even an infant, they're dealing with an immense trauma. And I think that it helps if you're looking at it through that lens. Like, this isn't a bad kid. This isn't a kid who's out to wreck everyone's lives because they're just this terrible, mean, evil person. They're a child that is in pain and they need help. You know, absolutely. Like you reframe it that way, you know, I think that that makes it more palatable instead of, oh, it's a scary, bad kid. No, this is a child that's hurting and they need help and they need to feel safe.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a fantastic way to put it. Because, you know, we, like we just said earlier, we don't know what it's like necessarily to be that child. Every child's situation is different and we don't always know exactly what they've been through. And even if they can tell us, that's, we still might not know all of it.
Well, and like, you know, for my daughter, she's a teenager and we started fostering her and then adopted her when she was a teenager. And I mean, obviously I'm not going to go into specifics because that wouldn't be right. But, you know, one thing, she was used to being in foster care. It's like being in a home permanently, just as an example of like where these kids are coming from, being in a home permanently long-term was, it was like something, it's like it freaked her out. You know, it was like this, the chaos and the upheaval and the not knowing where she was going to be living in a month, if she's going to be with her mom or another foster parent or whatever the case may be. Like, I mean, just imagine what that does to someone. Like, that's how you grow up. You know, like you don't have the stability that, you know, at least for me, like that's not something I ever thought about growing up. It was just something you take for granted because this is how it's supposed to be. Like you have parents and they take care of you. But then you imagine like, well, what happens to your child when they don't have that?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I would say to anybody that's like considering fostering, like you as a parent, like nobody is perfect and everybody does it differently. So what you do for your family might not be what another foster family does, but that doesn't make it wrong. Mm-hmm. And there's really, you know, no wrong way to be a caring, supportive person for a child. So however your family looks is absolutely going to be enriching to a child that needs extra help.
And one thing that I see a lot, and not so much locally, but just in foster parent Facebook groups and stuff that I'm on, is a lot of people are concerned about the reunification aspect. Because for anyone who's not necessarily familiar, the number one goal of foster care is always reunification. That is the goal. Sometimes that's not possible, you know, and that's sad when it isn't. But the goal is always reunification. But that seems to kind of push people away. You know, like, because they're feeling like, I've seen it for a whole bunch of different reasons. Some people are like, oh, I'm going into this because I want to adopt. Or other people where it's like, they're fine with reunification, but then they're like, well, the bio parents are not, you know, doing what they need to be doing, or they're not a good enough home, or so on and so forth. And so, but just in general, I see a lot of people who don't like the idea of taking in the child to have to turn around and give them up again in a month or a year or whatever the case may be. You know, so like, what would you say to those kind of, to those people who are concerned about that part of it?
So I know Sarah hasn't gone through, like, she hasn't gone through the full reunification thing yet. But I have, 3 different times. So, it's honestly like, the whole getting attached thing, it's real. Like, you do get attached. But honestly, it's, like, such a beautiful thing when, like, the kids are excited that they're going to, like, stay at their parents' house forever again. We had 4 kiddos go back. And you can just, like, see the difference. Because the reunification, like, they start, like, unsupervised visits for like 4 hours, and then it goes up to 6, and then a whole day, and then the next step is like an overnight, and then it goes to like a weekend or whatever days fit the parent's schedule. And you just see like the kids, like we had kids that were able to talk, so they were like, yeah, like we did so and so, we played, we, like, they were so talkative about being with their bio parents that we knew that like they were going somewhere safe and their parents did what they needed to do, which is the whole point of it. And like, yeah, they have, they're still in our heart forever. And like, that's, like, I want to say like fostering doesn't just end at reunification. Like, all three of the cases that we've had, like, we still get updates. So like, we see pictures of them. We actually just had a play date with one of them. Oh. So it's like nice to see like they're thriving. And
so that's like the best case scenario.
Yeah. And they were all were. And then there are those ones where they do reunify and then they get placed back in the system. And then it's heartbreaking that that happens. But then you just pick right back up where you are. You were with that kid. You get them back on their schedule that they had with you, and you just do everything that you were before they went back. But it's very hard, and you cry when they go back, but it's not a sad cry. It's like a happy sad cry. Like, you're sad that they're not going to be living with you anymore, but you're so happy that they're going to be flourishing and their families did what they need to do to get them back. And I think it's a great thing when it happens. And it's also, I haven't gone through the whole not able to reunify thing yet. But people also have to remember that if kids aren't able to reunify, like, that's very traumatizing to the kids that they're not able to go back to their bio parents. Mm-hmm. So if that happens, that kid's going to act out at that point in time, as anyone would if that's going through trauma. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, I'm for reunification.
Yeah, we have tried to make sure, you know, in our daughter's case at least, that we have kept as much as we can communication and visits and all of that open with her bio family, like, as much as is possible. And one thing, like, that we've always tried to impress upon her, and I would say this to anyone too, you know, who's considering fostering, is that it's not like a competition, you know, like with my daughter, it's like, you don't have to choose between your bio family and us. Like, you can have both. It's not one or the other. And I mean, the same thing would go for any foster kid. Like, hey, we're here for you and we're going to give you that safety and stability that you need right now, but you're still going to have your parents. It's not a contest. It's not us versus them. We're here working together for you. And like, that's ultimately what it's about, is it's about the child. And so what would you say, like, okay, so someone, you know, maybe they are interested in the idea of fostering, but they don't feel that they are prepared to become a foster parent. What would they be able to do to help or to get involved in other ways?
So our alliance, it is made up of foster parents. Foster parents are everyone that's on the board. But we are accepting of people that aren't foster parents. They don't have to be licensed foster parents to be a part of our alliance. They're able to come to the events that we host, be a part of the brainstorming of the events that we host. Like, we have a fishing rodeo next week, where we all go fishing and have like a nice big cookout. So like, they would be able to help in those ways. And when we get our property up and moving, like, helping with supervising that area and just being, I guess, like a community partner. I want to say. Sarah has more details on that.
Well, I know that in, we're originally from Florida, they have, you know, like respite care, for example. Like maybe you don't feel like you can be a full-time foster parent, but you can provide respite care. Or you could be a guardian ad litem, you know, which if someone's not familiar, you're basically appointed to be an advocate for the child. So you'll meet with them and you'll, you know, go to the court and advocate for them. You can volunteer with places like the Lebanon County Foster Parent Alliance. You know, like there's ways to get involved even if you can't be an actual foster parent and to help.
Yeah. And there, you know, there's another portion of the alliance that is actually very easy. And that is like picking up donations and, you know, the idea that we're going to have donations that need sorted and categorized and, you know, maybe delivered to a foster family that it has requested something. Or even if you're a community member that, you know, has access to things that might be useful for a foster family, you know, maybe you know somebody that works for, I don't know, a car seat company or something like that. You know, there are lots of ways to help, even if it's just like, you know, securing donations. If you have a pickup truck, because sometimes there are, you know, needs that it's like a foster family can take one more child, but we need to get them a bed. So the alliance can get them a bed, but maybe we need help transporting that bed and getting it delivered to where it needs to go, or getting it picked up from the place it's coming from and delivered to where it needs to go. Like there's lots of kind of legwork that exists that isn't even actually in contact with the children that benefits the foster families and the children in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because as you mentioned, you know, someone who gets an infant, you know, like you said, that could be thousands of dollars of items. So helping to alleviate that can go a really long way too.
Yeah, one of the things that we do when we hear that somebody has a new placement is that, you know, the alliance reaches out to them and says, hey, you know, what do you need? What can make this easier for you? And, you know, we just recently had an infant that was placed and we were able to get them a couple infant items that they didn't have that they needed because their infant was so tiny, you know, and, you know, that was an awesome feeling to be able to just like come together really quickly and secure those items for that family. And now they have what they need to give that infant the best care. And there's other things that we are doing too. Like when a family gets a placement, we are looking to provide them dinner for that first night because first night is rough. It can be hard for families, for the other children in the home, for the child themselves. And the last thing you want to think about is what you're making for dinner. So the Alliance has started a fund that we're calling the First Night Fund, where we're going to have separate money set aside for, you know, ordering food or preparing food and having that meal delivered, even if it's just Grubhub. But, you know, having the funding to be able to do that, to alleviate that little bit of pressure for a new family or for, you know, even if it's a foster family that's had a bunch of placements, you still got to eat. And being able to take that off of their proverbial plate, if you will, for that first night is really going to be helpful. So if somebody's looking to help and they can't do much in the way of time, you know, quite honestly, a donation of even, you know, $5 towards that first night fund or something like that is going to help make a big difference for a lot of families.
Yeah. And, you know, the food thing is interesting because even having fostered myself, it's like, you say that and it's okay, someone has a new baby, like that they're pregnant and it's their own, and everyone's situation is different, who knows, but a lot of times you will see, you know, everyone that's in their community will fall all over themselves like doing meal trains and all this stuff so that when you come home with your new baby, it's like, oh, you don't have to cook. But someone that is a foster parent, you know, you don't have 9 months to prepare. You know, it's like you can have 9 minutes
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's true. And that's not to say that, you know, foster families don't have people that love and support them in their own right. You know, I'm very fortunate that my mom and my sisters live just over the hill from me. And if I called them and said, "Hey, I'm getting a new baby tomorrow," they would be here with all of the things. But it is very true that not all foster families have that same kind of support. And that's what we're trying to provide. That you're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head there. Because there's also like almost a sense of what your own family, maybe they don't want to be quite as involved as you thought they might want to, because maybe they don't want to get attached. There's a lot of feelings that go into things like that. And if this is your fifth or sixth or seventh placement, yeah, that neighbor's not bringing an apple pie anymore. This is, you know, like that is okay, great, good for you guys. But yeah, we need to be able to make sure that we're supporting everybody every time they get a new placement, because every time is a whole new kid, and a whole new thing, you know, a whole new list of things that might need, you know, replaced or replenished or whatever. And you're right, people fall all over themselves whenever a new baby's coming to town. But yeah, if it's your fifth placement, people are like, "Oh, good for you," and then they just kind of move on.
Well, and I also think that, I mean, I could be wrong, but generally speaking, I think that people just don't know what foster parents need. You know, it's just an issue of it's like not something they've experienced. It's not something that is talked about a lot culturally, or because I mean, there's not a lot of foster parents out there. So it doesn't get talked about. And so I don't think people would stop and think about, "Oh, well, you have a new placement and now I'm going to have to scramble for food and for all of these items." I think people think, "Oh, well, you signed up to be a foster parent. You've got all of that like in a closet somewhere ready to go."
Right. And to be completely honest, we do. I think that most foster families have quite a bit that they've saved or put back. But it's absolutely impossible to prepare for every situation, right? We can be the most prepared that we think we are. And then, you know, we get a child that is the absolute opposite size of anything that we have in our closet, you know, or whatever it is. So there are, you know, donations and things like that that happen. We can get, but sometimes, you know, you need something right then, right that first night. And there is no prep. So that's part of what the Alliance wants to be able to do is to show up at somebody's door with, you know, a bag full of clothes that are the right size for that kid that they just said yes to. And we want people to have the power to say yes, because they know that they have the support, instead of saying no, because they don't know where the support is going to come from.
And for people who want to donate or just otherwise get involved, where can they go to find information about the Alliance?
I would say right now, the best place is Facebook. Wouldn't you say, Allie?
Yes. And to also go off of like us having stuff in our closet, like we definitely do. I'm like going off of like adding on to the reunification process, like every kid that I have successfully reunified with their parents, I send all the stuff, all their clothes with them. So if I have a four-year-old girl who's in 4T clothes, that whole wardrobe that I have is mostly going with her. So then I'm like starting over new. It's like I might have had it a couple months ago, but now I don't have it because I gave it all with her to set them off good. So we definitely use donations and all that stuff to like replenish what we have given to the foster kids. Because once they're, I know, especially for me, like once they're in my home, like the stuff that I get for them is theirs. So then it doesn't get put in my closet. It's not mine, it's theirs. So it gets with them.
Yeah. When I say I have stuff in my closet, what my wife and I have done is basically we have like a set of pajamas and an outfit for basically each size that we might say yes to, because that will get us through the first day or two. You know, because we can, you know, they might come with things, they might not. So we kind of always just think that they probably won't come with much. And, you know, at least for that first night, we have clean pajamas in any size that we could need. And we have, you know, maybe a sweatsuit or shorts and a t-shirt, you know, whatever the season is, in every size that we might need. But thereafter, we're going to go shopping, or we're going to go to, you know, a donation spot. And the Alliance, one of the things that the Alliance is going to be doing is kind of keeping things collected for that purpose as well. Now, there is a reimbursement that we get through Lebanon County Children and Youth for clothing items, but there is a limited list of the things that they will reimburse for, which is it's a okay amount of clothing, but it might not be everything that you would want for a child that you were caring for. So we, you know, can fill in with, you know, our own money, of course. And I know a lot of foster families do, and then also, you know, donations from other places. So, you know, collecting all of that whole wardrobe that you have for that child over the, you know, 6 months or a year or however long you have them, that was purchased by the county. Some of it was purchased by the county for them, and absolutely should go back with that child, like Allie's saying. But yeah, we do get reimbursed, but the reimbursement doesn't happen immediately. It happens at the end of the next month for the previous month. So those couple of days or weeks before, you know, you can put in for reimbursement and get the money back is on you. And that's fine. As a foster parent, you signed up for that. But in general, we do rely on donations and things. And I think in general, our kids are pretty well dressed.
Are people able to donate used items? I mean, like good condition, obviously, but.
Yeah. We take used donations and we'll go through them and make sure that, you know, we feel like they're, you know, appropriate and in good condition enough for kiddos to wear and not give the impression that they are, you know, a child that's disadvantaged. That's never our goal. You know, we want them to be have a normal childhood and be as normal as your bio kids and that sort of thing. But yes, we do accept, you know, used things because, I mean, kids grow so fast. Sometimes you get things that don't even look like they've been worn. And we also take donations of other items. So like bassinets, swings, you know, perhaps car seats that aren't expired, you know, high chairs, beds, toddler beds, mattresses, cribs, things like that. We would be open to accepting donations of those types of things too, so that, you know, we have extra beds to lend to foster families that might be able to use them in order to take a new placement that, you know, they wouldn't have been able to necessarily secure a brand new bed in a day's time. Well, the Alliance is the goal here is to have some that we can grab one and take it to your house and help you set it up. And there you go. You're ready to go.
Okay, great. Well, I will make sure to include links in our show notes so that if you are interested in maybe learning more about becoming a foster parent or joining the Alliance or even just, you know, giving some donations to help out, you'll be able to do that. Thank you both so much for your time and for being here. And if you are listening to this and you are curious to know more about fostering, I would very much recommend you take that step to at least learn some more because it's very rewarding.
It absolutely is. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
That's our episode for this week. New episodes will drop every Monday. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss out. Leave us a review and share to help other moms find us. Thanks for stopping by the Fireflies and Whoopie Pie podcast, the only podcast by South Central PA moms for South Central PA moms. Until next time.